More on making a great impression on college coaches. This is the Athletic Scholarship Podcast, episode number 51. And a good day to you. This is the Athletic Scholarship Podcast. I'm John Fugler, your host. I'm an athletic scholarship coach, also a dad. Yeah, I went through this process that you're going through right now. I had twin sons, so we were motivated, highly motivated to get them an athletic scholarship when we already had a daughter who was in college that we were paying for. So we were able to leverage their athletic abilities, and they went on to receive fully paid educations at the school of their choice, and we were indeed happy about that. Well, since then, I've been helping other student athletes and families walk through this process. This has been over 15 years now, and it has been so rewarding to see others experience what we've experienced too. I love it when I get comments in from families asking about, or telling me about, I should say, their athletic scholarship experience just by following the steps I've given them. And that's really cool. They have to do the work. Yeah, I can give the steps, but they have to do the work. Speaking of asking, I was thinking about that question I got in just a couple days ago that I thought I'd kick this show off and share it with you because you may be thinking the same thing too. And this is the question I received from a dad. He said, my son had a great summer of baseball. We're currently in contact with a few coaches. How do we get to the point, he says, with the coaches about what are my son's chances of receiving a roster spot, receiving scholarship money, and where does he stand in the recruiting process for each school? I love that. I love that because that is, you know, that's where it's at. That's the reality of where things are at. You'll be there someday if you aren't there already. And, you know, you go down the road. It's not a cut and dry thing. This is not a formula. Yeah, you can follow the steps, but boy, in real life, you're going to be at this point saying, where does my kid stand? And I'm almost afraid to ask. I want to know, but I think that's natural for us that we have a hard time asking that question, but you got to get used to it because coaches like it when you shoot straight with them. And here's how I answered this dad that will give you some perspective on it. And I said to him that you can ask those questions once the coaches are reaching out to him. If they're initiating calls and emails, then you have the opportunity and the right to ask those questions. However, if all the communication is one way or they're sending mass emails or letters to him and others, you really don't have their interest yet. So there's got to be dialogue first, not just you reaching out, but the coaches reaching back to you. That is so key. Once you have that, then you know there's genuine interest. You can't just, after the first couple emails or first call or something, say, hey, where's the scholarship money? You know, where's my son stand? Where's my daughter stand? You can't do that, but you can ask that at some point. Don't be afraid to ask. You don't want to go down to a road that is a dead end. You'd be a waste of time. And the coach appreciates when you're shooting straight with them, and you hope that they'll shoot straight with you. So I'd encourage you to ask those kinds of questions as the relationship grows. Make sure it's not just one-way communication. I'm pretty excited because on August 3rd, I've got my new book coming out, The Athletic Scholarship Playbook, a complete college recruiting roadmap for high school athletes and parents. I've been working a long time on this. It feels like it's been a life project. It has been a project over the last 15 years. I take everything I know and I've learned and I've distilled it into the content that you need to know and practice every step of this recruiting experience. And I put it in this book, The Athletic Scholarship Playbook. It releases August 3rd. That's a Thursday. Thursday, August 3rd. It'll be on Amazon. We'll have it there waiting for you to pick up, and I certainly hope you will. It'll answer a lot of questions you might have. It'll give you something you can hang on to, and you can read through it and apply these things. It really is a playbook. Somebody reminded me today as I was sharing this with him. He's a sports guy, and he said, John, that's a perfect name for your book, a playbook, because a playbook teaches you what you need to do, but the playbook is used off the field, teaching you what you need to do on the field. And that's what this really is. This is an off-the-field playbook that will teach you what you need to do on the recruiting field, the scholarship field. Looking forward to that coming out August 3rd. Something I do have for you, if you haven't downloaded it yet, is the free download right on my website at recruitme.com. And it's how to get an athletic scholarship. You can read this in 5 minutes, and it'll get you introduced to the whole scholarship world, recruiting world. I would encourage you to get it. How to get an athletic scholarship. Just go to recruitme.com and download it, like hundreds of people have already. Before I get into what we're continuing from last week, when I talked about how to make a great impression on college coaches, I want to go more specifically into it this time. I felt like I rushed through it, and I've got something that will hopefully make it even more clear this week. I want to say something, first of all, about email. Email is really customary these days. We talk about, as I've said last week, sending out an introductory packet. Well, sending your introductory packet by email is customary. So you do it that way. Your cover letter, which used to be something that you put in the mail with your resume, but your cover letter is actually the body of the email, the dear such and such coach, dear Coach Smith. Or you can even include it as an attachment. That's fine too. But that's how that fits in. But beware of this, that your email can go into a coach's junk folder without you even knowing it. And that's the disadvantage of using email exclusively. You just don't know what's going to happen on the other end. And you wonder why the coach hasn't responded to you. And your email could have just gone into that black hole. You know, you can still make a strong impression by regular mail, because very few athletes send things out by regular mail. So don't count it out. If you want to be a standout in the coach's mind and get his or her attention, don't rule out mail. I always say, do the opposite of what everybody else is doing, and you can make an impression. Do the opposite of what everybody else is doing, and you can make an impression. I think once the relationship is going, and once you know the coach is getting your email, that he's or she is responding by email, of course, that's when you can go exclusively by email, and of course, phone calls, maybe even texts, but you don't have to rely on the mail. Here's something to point out, though. If you do decide to send your introductory letter by email, but don't hear back from a coach within 3 or 4 weeks, I do recommend you send the intro package by regular mail. Sometimes it takes that extra effort to get a coach's attention. It's regular mail, even calling a coach, but you want to get that material, that intro packet, into the coach's hands. By the way, what I'm sharing with you here in this episode and last episode as well is content from my book. So you get it. You get a preview. You get a glimpse of what's inside. And I wanted to share that with you, especially during these two episodes. We talked about the cover letter, or as I said, in an email, the body of the email, that short 5-paragraph opening statement that you're making to coaches. And I walked through what those 5 paragraphs would look like. I went through it really quickly. This time around, I want to give you a real life example of how this plays out in a letter or an email that you're sending to coaches. So let's look back on this. And the first thing that you want to be out the gate with is the who, what, where, and when. It's where you introduce yourself and your intentions in a one-sentence opening paragraph. A one-sentence opening paragraph. Here's how that might start. I'm a junior in high school, and I'm interested in competing at Penn State in 20, whatever year that would be. My son, in fact, stated this in his. He said, I have an interest in playing baseball for Ohio State next year. So that's that opening sentence is your whole paragraph. It's that, boom, right out of the gate, coach reads that and he knows what your interest is. Secondly, we talked about in the paragraph number 2 is about athletic abilities, where you share 3 or 4 of your athletic accomplishments, impressive stats from your most recent season. If you received honors in other sports, you want to mention them, but don't include the highlights. And here's how this can play out when you talk about your athletic abilities. Remember what I said last time, every word counts. You don't have much space. More importantly, you don't have much time. And here's how this could play out in that second paragraph. Because of my athletic abilities, I've been used as an all-around player. This summer, I played catcher and first base in addition to pitching. We played a 93-game schedule and traveled throughout several Western states. I finished 4-3 and had a batting average of .322. A lot of meat in there. Yeah, it says something about this kid's athletic abilities, pitching and hitting. It says something about what he's been doing and what's a 93-game season. So it brings out some of the specifics that causes a coach to raise his eyebrows and goes, I want to know more. Then the third paragraph, that personal information, why do you enjoy competing in your sport? And again, like the first paragraph, which is one sentence, this paragraph is one sentence. Get right to the point. It's got to be from your heart. And here's how this could read. I love baseball, and because of the weather here, I can compete and condition year-round. There, as simple as that. By the way, these are actual paragraphs out of the letters my kids used, or I should say one of my kids used. It worked, so I thought, why recreate the wheel? But something personal about why you enjoy competing in your sport. So this is from your heart. An athlete, you got to be thinking about that. Why is it? Why do you compete in your sport? Why do you love it? And you state that to a coach. It goes beyond your athletic abilities, but they get to see you as a person. The fourth paragraph, what are you doing currently in your sport? For instance, you may be in season. Perhaps you're playing on an off-season club team. You might be taking lessons, something like that, summer camp coming up. But let the coach know what you're doing currently in your sport. You can even include some SAT scores or grade point average, something like that. Here's what my son wrote for this. Right now, I'm playing on a high school travel team that competes against junior colleges and scout teams in Southern and Central California. I realize that academics are a high priority, and I have kept on top of my grades, maintaining a 4.0 plus GPA. Again, that's packed. That's just one paragraph. That's two sentences. And then finally, that fifth paragraph in your intro letter or email answers the question, how will you benefit the team you're writing to? It's not all about you. What will you bring to the program? What are you going to bring with your athletic abilities, your character, your work ethic, those intangibles as well? And so here's what my son said. I would bring to the Ohio State program strong abilities as a pitcher and position player, a quality work ethic, and a willingness to spend time to improve. It is my dream to lead my college team to a championship. Now, isn't that a great closing sentence? It's my dream to lead my college team to a championship. So you want to leave the coach with a great impression, and not just start the letter with a great impression, but end it like a sandwich. You know, two great things with a bunch of stuff in the middle. So what is it for you? It's got to come from your heart. This can't be robotic. It needs to be true. It needs to be you. It needs to be personal. And the coaches will detect that as well. So that's it. That's all you'll be saying in your cover letter. Some suggestions here. One, especially once you finish your letter, have a couple people read it and suggest some edits. This is something that will help you get perspective, because when you're in the middle of it, you get so entrenched in it and you don't see it in perspective. Have a couple other people read it and suggest some edits. Secondly, my recommendation is work on this parent and athlete together. Make this a group project. Yeah, the letter has to be from the athlete. The email has to be from the athlete, but work on it together. Get some help. Be teammates in this, okay? The first impression, so important. Yes, the coach is going to look at your athletic abilities, and that's what it comes down to. And your talent is key. In fact, you can't get around that. But start the relationship right. That first impression is so important. You don't get a second chance. And that's a kind of a blow-by-blow description of how you can put that email and letter together a little slower than last time with a real-life example. And these will be included in my book that comes out on August 3rd. Well, I hope you have a great week. Hope your summer is going well, that you're having an opportunity to improve in your sport, and parents, that you're having an opportunity to really give direction to your son or daughter's recruiting experience. If you have any questions, I may use them on the podcast. I did already today. If you have any questions, feel free to email me at john@recruitme.com. john@recruitme.com. And as for every Tuesday, 15 minutes that will change your scholarship future. We'll see you next time.